The following audio is a Sunday sermon from Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Para Vista, South Australia. For more information about the church, please go to paravista.org.au.
I was talking to Gavin before the service. He's sitting back there smiling. And as he was driving by our sign out there on the street this morning, it said, Autumn, a season of change. Autumn, a season. And he said to me, it's not autumn. It's spring right now. And then he remembered that we're in the seasons, correct? We had spring a couple of weeks ago. Then what was last week? I don't know. I wasn't here. Summer. I assume it was summer, wasn't it? Now we're in autumn. It doesn't feel like autumn right now. It feels like spring. It feels like new things are growing, new things are changing. So I had to transport myself to my Facebook page where all of my friends and family are suffering through autumn right now in the United States. In that midst of that change, in the midst of the colors becoming more vibrant perhaps, they even look like the colors behind the cross today. When we talk about coming to the autumn of life, perhaps some of you have a vision of that in your own heads. Perhaps some of you are in that. Perhaps some of you are past it. Some of you might be reaching it. There's no age specifically to the autumn of life, but I think we get this sense that perhaps autumn is a time of slowing down, of pulling back in a little bit, to smell the roses, to envisage the colors, and maybe to meander through the memories of how you got to where you are now. On the way back from Western Australia, when we got to Adelaide, I picked up the newspaper. And these people were on the front page. I don't know if you saw these people. This is three generations. And the man who was talking about this article said that these twins and their sister, the three daughters, the odds are they probably will live to the age of 120. And then he said, but they probably will also be working until they're 90. How many of you, I don't know if anybody's 90 in here, how many of you would like to continue to work when you're 90? There's a chance you could live till 120. No? No one? There's a sense that when you reach the autumn of life, that we pull back a little bit. But this science person basically said that in our continued thrust to live life to its fullest, we just keep working. To live life to the fullest, that's what our contemporary society probably says. Live life to the fullest, because that's all there is. That's all there is. When you're done with this life, that's good. We're done. We're finished. Then you can rest. But Christians have something more to say about that, don't we? Because Christ calls us to live life not just to the fullest, but the fullest in Him. But we have this endless push to erase any trace of the finite. And we are proud enough, we are arrogant enough to think that humanity will finally find a way to eradicate pain, suffering, and death. That's our arrogance. So we work longer hours, harder hours, even in retirement, whether by necessity or by narcissism, through the summer season, hoping we can regain or make it last a little bit longer. But we find that the life-giving sap is sucked right out of us when we neglect that time of change in autumn. Autumn as it should be. Notice the scripture verse one more time from John, if you would. Jesus says, I am the true vine and my Father is the gardener. It's no wonder Jesus uses this continual image of the green thumb God. In the beginning, God was a gardener, wasn't he? Creating the Garden of Eden for the pleasure and the benefit of all who were around. When Jesus is raised from the dead and the tomb is opened, who do the women think he is? A gardener. All throughout the scriptures, it seems like God has something special planned for the trees, for the branches, And here Jesus says, I am the vine while the Father is the gardener, and you get to be part of this. And how many times did you notice during the scripture reading today that it says, remain in me, remain in me, remain in me, and in my words, remain, stay. Don't fall off the branch. Don't fall off the vine. Remain in me. I am the true vine. Remain in me. When we remain in Jesus Christ, when we remain in the root, the tap root, we find that almost like in Psalm 1 verse 3, we are like trees planted beside waters, giving forth fruit in due season. Not every season, but due season. So there are times when we need to pull back, where there are times when we need to be pruned so that we can bear much fruit. So today I want to talk a little bit about pruning and grafting. You don't say grafting, do you? Do we? No. It's just gross. Dancing and gross, but not grafting. Does anyone know what grafting is? Can I have some of the kids come help me with something? If there's any, are there any kids that want to come forward to help me with a visual? Can I talk to you for a second too? You don't have to. You all can be part of this morning. I need someone to hold this. Will someone hold the tree that I tore off my orange bush this morning? That's good. I need someone to put the gloves on because they don't fit me. You each can have a glove. There's a lefty. Go with the other hand here. There you go. You got those. And I should have done a risk assessment on this, but that's fine. Who wants to be the shearer? Okay. Keep those away from anyone's fingers. Fantastic. So this is a branch today, right? And what kind of tree did I say it was from? Did you hear that?
Orange.
An orange. Can you smell how nice it is? Can you smell that? What kind of fruit do you think this branch is going to bear? It's not going to bear any, right? Because I cut it off. But technically, it should be orange. Can you see those leaves? Can you hold that down a second, Micah? Can you see where those flowers are here? There are certain trees that we have to trim back so they bear fruit. Do you know what it means to prune? What does it mean to prune? That's right. We cut some of the dead stuff off that we don't need anymore. Can you show us what it looks like to prune? Can you cut one of those branches off? Yeah. Can you watch what she's doing there? Yeah. Muscles. Get it. Don't it. Perfect. Perfect. You can keep that if you want. Take it back to mom and say, look what I got you. Yeah. So this branch, do you think this branch then could bear any fruit, the one that's been cut off? Nah, do you think so? It's been cut off twice, that's right. But perhaps this branch now can bear more fruit. Do you think it could bear fruit because of the way it is now? No. What if we connected with this other one that I cut off? Do you think if we tied them together, then they'd bear fruit again? What do you think? Why not? Why not? Okay, I guess you're right. Why not?
Because they're not connected to each other.
That's right, they're not connected to each other, and they're not connected to the rest of the tree, are they? So what we have to do is we have to graft them, which means we have to connect it. Can we connect these two together? And then I have to take them home and graft them to the tree, which I'm not good at, so I may get someone else, right?
Some sticky tape.
Some sticky tape, that's right. Yes, I didn't think of that, but it could happen. So what we can do is we think this is what God helped. We could what?
Glue them together.
We could glue them together, that's right. So when we think about this is what God does for us too, is when Jesus says, I am the vine and you are the branches. That's right, sometimes we fall off. And God puts us back on the tree so that we can bear fruit. What are some of the kinds of fruit that we might bear? Do you know?
Lemons.
Could be lemons sometimes. Yeah?
Oranges.
Apples, oranges. But I'm thinking stuff.
Pears?
Pears?
Mandarins.
Okay, we've got all the fruit now. We could perhaps bear fruit, which in the Bible talks about things like love and joy and peace and patience. How many of you are patient people? One. Yeah, me too, sometimes. Those are the kinds of fruit that when God puts us and puts us together in Jesus, he says, remain in me, then we get to bear fruit like those. Do you think you could show all those people out there how you have fruit because you know that you're grafted into... Was that a grasshopper?
No, that was a
bug. Okay. How you might bear fruit like joy, peace, patience, love, kindness, gentleness, self-control, those. Do you think you could do that? You could show them? Because sometimes they're short on that. Yeah? Okay. Excellent. So every time you see a branch now, what I want you to do is think about how God brings us together and puts the branches grafted into him. Can you do that? Good. Can you pray with me? So I'm going to pray and you repeat after me. Dear God, thank you for life together. Thank you for pruning us. And help us to grow in you. To bear fruit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Good. Does anyone else want a branch to take back to their seat? You could have one. Go ahead. Give it to your dad. I know he'll like that. Thank you very much. There you go.
And new branches will go on the tree again.
Yes. You can put them on your tree at home. Perfect. Josh, there's one for you. Yes. Don't block in. Here you go, Josh. Do you need this? Here you go. Just in case. Part of what we talk about when we're talking about the pruning process is, in Christian terms, it's not used as pruning. And ironically, we talked about age at the beginning of the service, and now we're talking about prunes. There, you got one. Is the fact that this is called the discipline, discipling process, correct? The root word of discipline is disciple. And is it easy to be a disciple? It can be a very painful thing. In fact, Paul talks about it in Hebrews when he writes, no discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful later on. It produces a harvest of righteousness. Notice, discipline leads into our discussion about producing fruit, a harvest of righteousness. But what kinds of things need to be pruned from us? I mean, if we're up to us as humans, we like to tell God the things that we want pruned from our lives, usually things that we might be embarrassed about, but not necessarily the things that really need to be pruned or lopped off from our lives. In the case of if we were a body, we'd say, God, you could trim my toenails or whatever's left of my hair, or you could take my appendix, maybe my tonsils. That would be painful, but I don't need those parts. When God prunes us, what parts is he changing? What parts is he transforming? That's right. When God prunes us, he trims our hearts and he changes our minds. Because it's those two pieces of our equipment, those two parts of our own branches that need to be transformed in order for us to see what God has for us in this world. And probably the biggest thing that needs to be trimmed from us or pruned from us, we look at with regards to what C.S. Lewis says. According to Christian teachers, the essential vice, the utmost evil is... what is it? It's pride. Did you flash that up there too early? It's pride. Now, it's not about being proud of things, correct? It's not about being proud. Even Paul, in his Romans chapter, says, I am proud of the ministry that I do to the Gentiles, but proud that I can bring this ministry so those who are on the outside can be jealous of what we have. Do you notice the fine turn of play in those words? proud of the ministry, proud of Jesus Christ. The only thing that I can boast in is Christ my Savior, so that others might be jealous of what we have. But what happens in our church is pride essentially is competitive by nature. Pride gets no pleasure about having something, only about having more than the next person. What pride does generally in our Christian lives as this vice and not a virtue is that pride takes over and allows us to think not only that we're better than the next person, but we're more deserving than the next person. And pride takes root in our hearts. I'm not sure that mammon, although that's a tough thing, is the root of all evil. I think pride might be. So Paul's talking to the early Christian church, and he says, I am talking to you, Gentiles, this early Christian church that was taking pride in itself that they were better than the people of Israel who had fallen off. We don't have to follow the rules like you do. We're better than you. We don't have to sacrifice. We don't have to. We don't have to, of course, do anything. We've got Christ and that's enough. There's no food restrictions. We can do whatever we want. And they thumb their nose. But it's in this place, perhaps, that we find ourselves in our contemporary Christian church at times saying, we're just going to cycle in or circle our wagons into ourselves, and we're good enough the way we are. We've got this nice branch that's been grafted in. This nice branch that's been grafted in that is exactly the same. Notice how Paul uses these words next. One more. If some of the branches have been broken off and you, though a wild olive shoot, are put into a natural olive tree, we're not talking about God putting carrots into an olive tree. We're not talking about pumpkins being grafted into a pear tree, are we? We're talking about the exact same people being grafted together. I think there's something amazing about that fact that we are no better or no worse than anyone else in God's eyes. And the mere fact that Christ died for us and allows us to remain in Him is the perfection of the ages. In this Romans passage, we find the beauty of what God has for us as we stand together. Consider God's kindness and sternness at the same time. The people of Israel perhaps fell off because of unbelief. Do we not do that so also sometimes? And yet it is the power of God that can bring all of us back. Not just that we're grafted together, but we're grafted to Him and in Him. Just as John writes, remain in me. So we come to this, our own sense of the autumn of the world. As the color of life is changing, perhaps even as we can contemplate the end of all ages here on earth, that Christ is in the midst and Christ still reigns and Christ still has an opportunity for us to bear fruit. What is this fruit? We spoke about it with the young ones. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Can you read that with me, those? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. All of you have all of these in every season, correct? There's one person that has all of them in season. But that's our opportunity as God has called us to bear fruit. May God bless you in the coming days as He prunes us of pride and selfishness and arrogance. May He give us a true sense of pride in Jesus Christ, that we may boast in Him, that others might be jealous and come and be grafted in by the power of God. May God bless you as you bear fruit. Amen. We thank You, Heavenly Father, for this opportunity to dwell in Your Word. We ask that you continue to prune us of our pride and our selfishness and our arrogance, that we can somehow live apart from you and bear fruit apart from you. Help us to be brought close to you and in you so that we might experience the taproot of all goodness. You are the vine and we are the branches. Lord Jesus Christ, prune us and give us your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.